Matthew chapter 4. Let's take our Bibles, stand together this morning as we read, beginning in verse 18 through verse 22 today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, page 785. Let's read the Word of God together. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Thank you so much. God bless you. We're beginning a new series today. I know you're glad to get back into the New Testament. We spent a couple months in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Today we're moving into a new series that I've titled, I Have Decided. And so God willing, for the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about being a follower of Christ and what it means to make that decision that I will follow Christ. So today we're going to look at this call to James and John and Andrew and Peter, these two brothers, two sets of brothers, these four men. And as we begin this series, there was a word that was mentioned twice in our text about both of these sets of brothers. And it says this, that when they heard what Jesus said, immediately they left the nets. So I want to talk about what leads up to that point of decision. As we read in our text, all four of them were fishermen. They all had careers. They had a source of income. They had jobs. We know that Peter was married. He had a family. We also know that all four of them left everything. They left their boats. They left their nets. They left their family. They left their income. They left all of that, their homes, and they began to follow Jesus. In fact, Peter referred to this later in Luke chapter 18, verse 28, where Peter said this to Jesus, "We have left all we had to follow you." We have left all we had to follow you. I find it fascinating that both of these sets of brothers, all four of these men, immediately left to begin to follow Jesus. I was thinking about it in our day and time. Imagine if you're at work tomorrow, or of course now you're working from home, but let's just imagine that you're working from home tomorrow and somebody calls you and says, "I want you to follow me. I'm starting up a business. And I can't offer you a salary, and I can't offer you a retirement, and I can't offer you a 401k, and I can't offer you health insurance, and I can't offer you, you know, in the things you have now. I can't offer those to you, but I want you to go to work for me." How many of you would say, "That sounds like a great deal. Let's see, I'll leave my health insurance, I'll leave my 401k, I'll give up my reserved parking space, I'll leave my pension plan, I will leave, you know, my seniority, I'll leave all of that to go with you and to be part of a business where you can offer me nothing. That is great. Let's do that." I think all of you would probably say, "Thank you, but no thanks. I've got my pension. I have my retirement. I have a matching contribution from my company. I have health insurance. I have all these things, and you're telling me to give all of that up to go with you, and you can offer me nothing other than we're going to try." There had to be something working in the hearts of these four men that they would just simply leave everything they have, leave their nets, leave the boats, leave their business. For James and John, leave their dad sitting in the boat. The Bible didn't say they told Jesus, "We need to call our attorney. We need to set up a succession plan, and we need to get a corporation set up so that we'll have some income coming in. So Jesus, if you could just give us a couple of weeks to get with our legal people, or they didn't say what we say sometimes, you know, I'll get my people to get in touch with your people. No, they left. They just got up, left the nets, left the boats, left their family, left it all. And it just seems to me, in my small mind, it seems to me that there had to be something going on inside of them before this occurred. Because what they did defies reason. It's just unreasonable. It's unreasonable for Jesus to even ask them to do that. And it's certainly unreasonable for him to expect them to follow him. And it's certainly unreasonable to their families for them to just say that. Can you imagine when Peter went home to his wife? Sherry and I, we were sitting, before we left this morning, we were sitting in what we call the quiet place, which is a little corner in our bedroom where we have two rocking chairs, and we were just talking. And she said, you know, I miss us doing this. Can you imagine? Picture with me, Peter goes home that afternoon, and, you know, he tries to act like nothing's going on, that everything's normal. That night, he and his wife get into bed, and he kisses her goodnight. And he's laying there, and he puts his arm around her, and he says, honey, I need to talk to you about something. And she turns over and looks at him and says, well, certainly, Shug. What do you want to talk to me about? And he said, well, you know, I've been fishing now for 20 years. Oh, yes, hon, and I so appreciate this fine home and that nice chariot we drive, and I appreciate, you know, everything you do for us. I'm so glad that I can be part of the Lady Fishers Club and all the things you provide. Our children are going to private fishing school, and I so appreciate it, hon. What do you want to tell me? And he says, well, I left today. And there's this long pause. And she said, hun, what do you mean you left today? Well, Jesus came by and he said to me, and I want you to know, honey, Andrew is the only reason I did this. You know, honey, blood is thicker than water. And Jesus came passing by today, and he said, follow me. And the next thing I knew, I was walking away from the boat and walking away from the nets. And the next thing he heard was the covers flipping real quickly as she stood up out of the bed, cut on the lamp, and said, have you lost your mind? I mean, that's the way I picture this going on. So there had to be something going on in these four men's lives. There had to be something going on. And so what I want to talk to you about is the season of discontentment. Webster defined discontent this way. He said it is a lack of satisfaction with one's possessions, status, or situation. A sense of grievance. And then he used this, and I really like this one. He defined discontentment as restless aspiration. Restless aspiration. In other words, there's something stirring in your heart that is telling you there's got to be more. There's more to life than this. There is more to these 75, 85, 90 years I have than this. There's got to be more than just working for 40 years and then retiring. There's something else, and I don't know what it is, but there's something in me that is just discontent. The scripture talks about this season of discontentment. Psalm 42, beginning in verse 1, the psalmist said this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" And then in Psalm 63, verse 1, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Again, staying in the Psalms, Psalm 73, verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you." Again, Psalm 143, verse 6, "I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land." Peter referred to this discontentment, this longing, this inner desire, when he said this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Did you hear those words that the psalmist used and that Peter used? The psalmist said, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you." He said again, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." Psalm 63, "You are my God. Earnestly I seek for you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." Psalm 73, "Earth has nothing I desire besides you." 143rd Psalm, "I thirst for you like a parched land." And then Peter said that, "Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk." They're talking about something that is deeper than, well, it's Sunday, I need to go to church. They're talking about something deeper than I need to check off the box. They're talking about something deeper than I need to take another class. They're talking about something, these seasons of discontent that we go through sometimes, where there's something within us that says there's got to be more. There's more of God. There's a deeper level of God. I want more of God. I'm hungering for God. I'm thirsting for God. I'm craving God. How do we live through a season of discontentment? Well, first of all, don't mistake a hunger for more of God as simply a hunger for more. Don't mistake a hunger for more of God as simply a hunger for more. So many times, I think, particularly we as Americans, something starts stirring within us, and we think that it simply means I need something new. I need a newer television. I need a newer computer. I need a newer phone. I need a newer car. I need a newer house. I need a newer this. I need a newer that. I need this. I need that. And so we buy something, and it is like having an appetizer, but the meal never comes. It satiates us for a while. It satisfies us for a while. But before long, we find that same longing is within us, that same desire, that same craving, that same feeling within us that says there's something more. Don't mistake a hunger for more of God as simply a hunger for more. This was the mistake of Solomon. The entire book of Ecclesiastes is written by a man who thought that he could satisfy a hunger for God by just getting more toys. That if he could just get something else, he'd be satisfied. If he could just find something else, he'd be content. If he could just, you know, find another thing, buy another thing, purchase another thing, he'd be content. I watch commercials about financing, where now you can finance a car for 6 years. I saw one the other day where the furniture store was offering financing for 10 years, and I'm thinking the furniture's not even gonna last 10 years. But because it's appealing to that craving that's within us, that really God placed within us to cause us to say, Lord, I want more of you. Instead, we say, I want more of this. And so listen to what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, beginning in the first chapter, verse 14. He said, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. So I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. Almost every chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes, until you get to the final few verses, is the writer of Ecclesiastes saying, all the things I obtained, all the things that I purchased, all the relationships that I was in, all my wives, all my concubines, all the palaces that I built, all the gardens that I created, all the possessions that I have is chasing after the wind. The more he had, the more he wanted, because he was trying to fill a void in his life with things that were not designed to fill that void. And what was stirring in his heart really was a craving and a longing for God. But he thought that it could be satisfied if he had some more things. We all see it. Where somebody thinks another relationship is going to make me happy. Another this is going to make me happy. Oh, if I had this, I'd be happy. If I had that, I'd be happy. And we find that after a while, that longing is still there. The new car smell finally goes away. The termites find their way into the house. The carpet gets stained by somebody dropping salsa. The TV gets busted by somebody watching FSU play football. And then we think, why am I not happy? Why am I not satisfied? Why can I not find a place of contentment? And it is because, like Solomon, we seek to fill that hunger with people and things, and they cannot fill that void. So don't mistake a hunger for more of God as a hunger for simply more. Secondly, take time in prayer to listen quietly. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 and 21, though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you're in that season of discontentment, that is an ideal time to just spend quiet time in God's presence. To just say, Lord, I'm not going to ask you for anything. I just want to listen. Is there something you're trying to tell me during this season? Is there something you're trying to say to me during this season? You know, Isaiah talked about, he said, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. And yet he said, it's during those times that you see God. And it's during those times that you hear that voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. So when you're going through those times of affliction and of adversity, when you're going through those times of discontentment where there's something stirring in your heart, that is an ideal time to say, Lord, I just want to listen. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to be tuned into what you're saying, Lord. I want you to speak to me. Give me clarity. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Open my eyes, Lord, that I can see, and open my ears that I can hear you. I want to know what you're saying to me, Lord, and I want to see where you're taking me, Father. I don't want to miss you during this time. This is also a time to face the unknown with faith rather than fear. Luke chapter 5, a story we're all familiar with, where Jesus has been teaching and he gets into the boat with Peter. It says, beginning in verse 4, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And now listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to Simon, because this is what Jesus says to us each time we go into that period of discontentment, each time we go into that time of which we know something's stirring in our heart and we're not sure what it is and we're not sure how to deal with this. Jesus always says this, what he said to Simon, three words, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then Jesus followed up by saying, from now on, you will fish for people. You know, sometimes in that season of discontentment, in that season where we sense something is stirring in our hearts and we're not sure what it is, but we sense that there's something going on inside me, and we go through that time frame of where we stop blaming our spouse and we stop blaming our children and we stop blaming our job and we stop, you know, this and that. And we finally just come to that place of, okay, God, I don't know what you're saying and I don't know what you're doing, but I want to hear you. And as we spend time with him, we hear him say, don't be afraid. This is often the time during this season of discontentment, if we'll give God time, this is often the time where we get some of the greatest clarity in our lives and about our lives. It is when we hear him say, don't be afraid. This is not you. This is my spirit doing something in you. This is not you haven't sinned, you haven't walked away from me, you haven't strayed, you're not out of my will. This is me working in your heart because I'm wanting you to take another step. I'm wanting you to follow me. I love what Jesus said to Simon Peter. Simon falls on his knees. He says, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Jesus did not acknowledge that. Jesus did not say, you know, Peter, you're right. You have blown it so many times. You have failed so many times. You've missed me so many times. No, what did Jesus say? Don't be afraid. And I believe that's what Christ says to us when we're in that season of discontentment. Don't be afraid. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. I'm directing you. Follow me. We're living in times of intense pain. We have people that are lonely. I read something this morning, a survey was done that said that the United States right now has the highest suicide rate among all age groups that we've ever experienced before. People are lonely. People are worried. People are missing family. Their lives are out of order. The things we used to do have all been disrupted. God can use this season that all of us are in right now, in which it seems like our world is upside down and we feel like the boxer that has just been punched and punched and punched, and we keep thinking, please ring the bell. But this is also an ideal time for us to say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing in my life. I don't like the circumstances. I don't like what's happening. But if you're speaking something to me right now, if you're using this disruption in my life to get my attention, Lord, I want you to know I'm listening. I'm listening. I keep thinking what Samuel, as a boy, said to that voice that he kept hearing. He finally came to the place where he said, "Here I am, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening." This is an ideal time, as our lives are being disrupted by a pandemic. This is an ideal time for us to say, "Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening. Whatever you're saying, I want to hear you clearly and succinctly." This is a great time for us to deepen our relationship with Him, to bring us to the place of faith, to let the walls that we have built in our lives be broken down. Because, you know, Paul did write, and he say, we say that we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't be afraid of a season of discontentment. Don't try to satisfy it. Let God satisfy it. This is a time in which God is speaking to many in the church, and He's saying, "Follow me. Follow me. Follow me." Lord, we don't like seasons of discontentment. We don't like being thirsty. We don't like feeling alone. We don't like feeling abandoned. We don't like having our ritual and our normal being disrupted. But I want to thank you, Father, although I do not believe you're the source of this pandemic, I do believe that you can even use this time in which we're going through to get our attention. Lord, we are creatures of habit. And it is so easy for us to believe that something or someone is going to fill that ache in our heart. Lord, I pray that today and the weeks ahead, we would clearly hear your voice as you say, "Follow me. Follow me." So, Lord, I'm asking you to give us, those who are here today, those who are watching on Facebook Live, those who later this week will view this stream. Lord, give us faith. Give us patience. Lord, that which we pray each Sunday, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done," let that become our mantra. That we look at our lives and we say, "Lord, let your kingdom come in my life. Let your will be done in my life. I will follow you." Lord, we've missed so many seasons of discontentment, but I pray that we would not miss this season. Speak to us, guide us, lead us, direct us. Show us the way, Lord. Be the light in the midst of our darkness. Be the voice of assurance in the midst of our fear. In Jesus' name, amen.